When and what are you doing when you feel a deep sense of love and connection? When do you reconnect? I was 9 years old, living in beautiful East Tennessee, surrounded by the Cherokee National Forest, and it was a hot summer day. And I remember lying on the soft green grass on my back, my arms were outstretched, and looking up at the beautiful sky and those white puffy clouds that were moving fast enough to keep your interest, but slow enough to just make you wonder. And lying next to me was my dog, Nero. He was a mostly black lab puppy, and he rested his chin on my arm. And just as I was feeling that wonderful sense of awe, Nero gave a big sigh. And I felt at the same time both incredibly tiny and incredibly grand, and that we were connected and it was right. That comes to my mind when I think about what it means to honor the Sabbath. When we pause in the sense of Sabbath, we get the big perspective on things, namely, that God loves us no matter what, and that we are connected to God, we are connected to one another, we're connected to the earth and all its creatures. We are part of the whole and holy. Being too busy is just a way of life in our culture. I mean, I don't think I can ever remember a time in my adult life, and maybe not even as a kid, where it felt wrong to be too busy, right? We want to get things done, we want to accomplish, we have things we want to do, and we get a lot of support for that. Now, I think our technology has made that impulse even more exaggerated. So I realized this week, I really do have a love-hate relationship with my smartphone. I mean, I love it because I can text anytime, I can call, I can check emails, I can check social media, I can even learn Spanish and Italian. I can write poetry and post it, and I can write sermons. There's so many things that I can do with my phone, but at the same time, it distracts me. It can keep me from noticing what's right in front of my face, namely a beautiful day, or my son sitting right next to me on his phone. It's a mixed blessing. It can even create not just the technology, but the sense of having so much input. It can create a sense of being overwhelmed and even despair. And paradoxically, the thing that might connect us might make us feel more isolated, and the world may even appear more broken. Writer Annie Lamott nailed it. She says, "Anything, almost anything will work again if you unplug it for a few minutes, even yourself." Observing a pause in our lives, a Sabbath, it's not simply good self-care mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. It's a reason and a way of remembering of why we're alive, why we're here, to love and be loved. But we have to pause sometimes to remember that. Without the regular discipline of simply stopping to be, we all too quickly fall into patterns that isolate and disconnect. I'll admit it, we act like we not only can, but we should control everything. And we might even believe that if we don't do it right, we are not worthy of love, or that we fail and we're not lovable. Years ago, I read someone that wrote that Many times in a faith community, we act as functional atheists, not trusting that God is guiding us and holding us, and we're not connected to each other, to our deepest selves and our world. Another hazard about this fast pace of information that we have are feelings of anxiety. So I'm quoting Elena Smith, our very wise and most organized program staff coordinator in the church office. She says, anxiety can come from thinking about the future or the past and keep us from being in the present moment. So she has a practice. She tries every month in her very organized calendaring way to leave one day a week scheduled with nothing, a free day. She doesn't always do it, but she tries at least once a month to have one unscheduled day. She practiced this discipline. Notice that the word discipline is related to disciple. By going into our discipline, we have a container for growing. And isn't that what the Ten Commandments and the law, keep the Sabbath holy? Isn't it to be a container for our going deeper, more safely, and to grow? The ancient tradition of the Sabbath comes to us through the commandments in the Hebrew scripture. And though there have been at times rigid enforcement of Sabbath, and some of you, many of us, remember blue laws, when businesses weren't even open after noon on Sunday. Some of us might even remember strict rules on Sunday Sabbath of not doing certain things. Do you remember that movie Footloose? The small town, and they couldn't dance. There are all these rules, and the minister was the worst one enforcing it. It always happens in movies. But it misses the point that this law is not meant to be a legalistic burden. Hasidic Rabbi Zalman Schachter said this: there is a disease rampant, a chronic, low-grade depression that never knows how to smack its lips and say, it's good to be alive. It does not know the haven of Shabbos in the bosom of an unhassling family. All the nostalgia we experience is yearning for the Sabbath, coming home to the good mother, one's being, a homecoming with the body, to the body, to eating, resting, singing, loving. The Sabbath is long and full when one knows how to be beyond doing. Honoring the Sabbath is not a painful duty we squeeze our lives into. It's good news. It's a joyful invitation to life. Okay, that's all well and good, but I will admit, in just a few weeks, I'm beginning a 3-month sabbatical Sabbath, and I'm a little nervous about what all of this unstructured time is going to be for me. So on June 15th, I start my second set of 7 years at Westminster. And I'm going to be, during that time, I've got a plan. I'm going to visit coffee shops, churches, other places where people in their 20s and 30s are gathering in droves, because I'm going to be the Margaret Mead of millennials. I'm curious, what happens on Sunday morning, not here at Westminster? I want to get the vibe and see if there's something that I can bring back to Westminster in our ministry together that will further extend our welcome to a wider group. Okay, so that is all, it's a good goal, but I'm looking at my calendar and there's not much on there in later part of June and in August. I'm also going to be, during that time, traveling with both my boys, I hope, to New Mexico, to Ghost Ranch, to sing for a bit. And then, at the very end of August and right before I return, I'm getting to spend 2 weeks in Tuscany with writer David White and some other folks. He's a wonderful poet. So I know that the traveling parts are fine. It's the in-between part that I'm worried about. But here's what I'm going to do first. I'm going to set aside 1 day a week, unscheduled. And I'm going to set aside every day 1 hour of unstructured time. I'm going to invite you all to do the same. 1 hour, nothing on your calendar. And I'm even going to try to make 2 or 3 days a month unstructured. And the first step in doing that is, now I've confessed to you all, you can hold me accountable when I come back, say, Laurie, how did that go? And why am I so nervous? I think it's because deep down, without a lot of feedback constantly about the good job I'm doing, maybe I feel like I'm not worthy of being loved. Maybe that's the gift of Sabbath. We belong. We belong. We belong to God. The reason I began this sermon with the story of Sabbath with Nero, my dog, is that in Sabbath time, we're reminded that we belong to God, and so does the rest of creation. Maybe Sabbath is about remembering that so that we're not tempted to use up what really belongs to God. I'm going to close with a poem by Wendell Berry called The Peace of Wild Things. But before I do that, we're going to have, after the poem, another time of silence together. And you don't have to worry about, as Beth said, whether you get the tune right. If you want to just read the words, you can. And if you sing wrong notes, guess what? It's a prayer, and there are no wrong notes in a prayer. So I'm going to give us some silence, and Michael will clue us by beginning to play the hymn. So don't worry about shuffling to get to the hymn. I invite you, as you hear the poem and in the silence afterwards, to close your eyes. And just like lying out on that soft grass with the sky overhead, maybe we can experience the Sabbath moment together. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free.